Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Nyack School Board of School Board meeting, Tuesday, February the 7th, 2017. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There's going to be a slight change to the agenda. Could I have a motion to adjourn, for the board to adjourn to exec?
Motion.
Second.
Okay, so the board is adjourned to exec to discuss negotiations. So what that means, folks, is that we actually need to retreat for a moment for matters to discuss, and we will be back as soon as we're through. 5 minutes tops, 5-10 minutes. We don't imagine it'll be longer than that, so excuse us for a moment. Just, you know, procedurally, what we usually do, we do this earlier in the evening, then come back into the board meeting at 7:30, but we didn't have an exec this evening, and there's a matter that has come up just to level set, so you understand what we're doing. Okay. Okay. So, at the suggestion of the superintendent, we're going to bump up item 2.1, the recognition. Motion to recognize.
Did we?
We did.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Dr. Montesano, yes.
Okay. It is my pleasure to bring to the attention of the board some recognition for a group of students and advisors, along with their chairperson that are here tonight, representing our high school English department. This fine, outstanding group of students are members of our literary magazine, Dimensions, which was selected to receive a rank of excellent in the 2016 National Council of Teachers of English program to recognize excellence in student literary magazines, of course. Having produced an exemplary literary magazines, Dimension was one of only 8 nationally ranked magazines to receive this award. The NCTE program to recognize excellence in student literary magazines recognizes students, teachers, and schools for producing excellent work. This program's mission is to encourage all schools to develop literary magazines seeking excellence in the craft of writing. As a district and with our English department, we share in fostering a love of writing among our students who have participated in Dimensions. We acknowledge their collective effort in putting together this wonderful work of art. We are proud of their collaboration and achievement in furthering the English department goal of generating a culture of literacy. Specifically, we recognize and acknowledge the time, effort, and guidance of Mr. David Sheehan, Ms. Simona Moldovan, the advisors of Dimensions, as well as the student writers and editors who contributed to its making. I know that not all the students are here tonight, but I'm going to call all the students that that participated. Those of you that are here, when I call your name, I'd like you just kind of come forward. With that acknowledgement, and I'll certainly invite Mr. Sheehan, who is representing as the advisor here tonight, and or Mr. Joyce, our English chairperson, if you want to make any remarks to the group or to the board and to our audience, you're certainly welcome to do so. So at this time, I'd like to recognize Amy Chanin, who is the co-editor-in-chief, Ethan Kim. Come on up. Ethan Kim, co-editor-in-chief. You can tell the collaboration took place as this is the second co-editor-in-chief, and we actually have a third co-editor-in-chief, and that would be Maggie Collier. Maggie. And our staff writers include Louise Jones. Louisa Urarte, staff writer. And Zara Cornfield. At this time, call up Mr. John Joyce, our English chairperson, and Mr. David Sheehan, our co-advisor. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of the Dimensions staff, my co-advisor, Ms. Moldovan, and I would like to thank the school board for recognizing our efforts. This magazine has a rich history here in NIAC, but it was dormant for many years until some members of Writers Guild decided to revive it last year. The theme for our first issue was, fittingly, renewal and rebirth. A small group of students, Ethan, Amy, Zara, Thomas Myers, who's graduated now, Louisa, Peter Henry, who's also a graduate, and Louise, worked tirelessly for most of the last school year to gather, organize, and edit the submissions, lay out the pages, and pair the writing with original student artwork. Their final product is a testimony to the diversity and creativity that are part of our rich cultural life here in NIAC. We're very grateful for the support of the school board and the administration, especially Ms. Saiva, Mr. Teasdale, Mr. Joyce here, and Mr. Passaro, all of whom helped us make this project a reality. We also want to thank the high school teachers who teach our students and artists, giving daily encouragement for their creative efforts. Most of all, this honor belongs to the Dimensions staff, as well as to the many students who submitted their work and took a risk and allowed us to see their best work. So we're currently working on our next issue. Our theme for this year is Wanderlust, and we're accepting submissions until the end of the month. Sometime in late May or early June, we'll have our second launch party and reading up at the high school. And so you're all welcome to join us. And again, thank you so much for recognizing us.
Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Good evening, everyone. Welcome. I have a short report this evening. This past weekend, I attended the Black History Month celebration at the NIAC Center. It was its celebration of hope. It was a wonderful event. We had our own Jose San Victor, who was honored, and along with Miss Mary Johnson, and two young men. I can't remember their names from the district. But what was inspiring to me was the two young men who went up to receive, who were being honored, gave much of their tribute to Jose San Victor himself, who was being honored for being their inspiration. And I thought it was a wonderful tribute to him and recognition of the work that he has done many years in our community, at the center, within our school district. I know that Thai Board knows that he's been a tremendous mentor to so many, especially of our at-risk kids. So it was wonderful to see him being awarded. Mary Johnson, who I came to know personally, was introduced by Jen White, our mayor of NIAC. Now, if anybody knows Miss Mary Johnson, very passionate and driven lady, and whatever she wants, Mary gets. Mary goes about it. There were a number of legislators in the room as well, mm-hmm. and she picked them all out and said, "I've been in your office, your office, your office." You know, she really does for these kids. She's actually going to be leaving the county and moving to Florida, so she's going to be really, really missed. So it was very appropriate that she was recognized. I just wanted to publicly give our congrats to both Miss Mary Johnson and Jose San Victor in particular as really strong contributors to our school community. And that's my report. Dr. Montesano.
Yes, before I give my report, I'll just pause for a moment to our parents, who are parents of our students recognized tonight, to the students, and certainly to our staff members. We really do appreciate you being here tonight. I know the board joins us all in, you know, recognizing your outstanding efforts. And with that as a segue, I'm going to give you one opportunity to find the exit if you want to get to other activities for the night. Obviously, you're welcome to stay, but normally our students that we recognize, the board understands you have a lot of classwork, you know, homework to get done and so forth. So thank you very much, all of you, for being here tonight.
Thank you.
I really just have one item I want to bring to the board's attention, which is kind of a segue into your discussion I believe you're going to hold later on tonight under workshop with regard to high school class rank. And as many of you may recall, back in December when the committee chairs, it would be Lorraine Longing and Nicole Saeva, gave the report to the board with regard to the work that they were involved with class ranking, they also shared with you that part and parcel to that review was collecting data from other school districts in this immediate Hudson Valley. And they also stumbled across the concept of weighted grades, which this board embraces through its board policy of providing greater weight to more rigorous courses, advanced placement, honors, and regions type courses that we offer. And in that, they felt, based upon that review, based upon their review of what other districts were doing, it really would be worthy of a further review to take a look at the current weighting system that we have here in NIAC. And again, the charge of the committee was really limited to the issue of class ranking. They were really not charged to come back with any recommendations with regard to weighting of courses. Through a number of conversations that I had with both Nicole and Lorraine, you know, I took it a moment to take a look at your board policy, which is number 4741, which expresses the board belief in having this kind of a weighted system for differentiated courses, recognizing individual differences, et cetera, from our high school students. And the regulations do charge the administration with developing whatever that format is going to be. However, when I did look closer at the what is in your board policy, your regulations, which is really not a policy, there is a slight discrepancy, actually two, with regard to what you'll find in the program of studies. And the program of studies at the high school is actually what is being implemented. So just as one example, the AP, in accordance with your policy or your regulations, an AP course would have a +7. So it's based on a 100-point scale. So if a student got an 80 in an AP course, they would jump up to an 87 in terms of for the purposes of configuring your class ranking, if you're following me. Simultaneously, what is actually in the program of studies and what is being executed at the high school, it has a value. If I said +7, it's your policies, your regulations say +6, your program of studies say +7. So there's that discrepancy that exists. And I know you probably don't know, but I probably lost you completely by now. But there's a difference in terms of what we're practicing and what is in your regulations. And the other discrepancy I discovered was in Regents, it calls for if a Regents exam has with it as a final exam, a Regents course, a Regents exam in place in lieu of a teacher exam, it would have a +3 value. If it was a teacher develop or departmental develop exam, it would have a +2. What's in program of studies is +3 regardless. So there are some discrepancies. Based upon that finding, along with the recommendations from the committee, I would really recommend to the board that we move forward and really do a further study looking at the issue of weighting and come back to you with some recommendations. I think it's really we're at a good point to kind of take a look at that.
Relative to the discrepancy or overall?
The discrepancy has to be corrected. I mean, right. My sense is that your regulations were enacted in 2000, so someplace along the lines between 2000 and probably 2010, a change was made. It's not unusual for sometimes the actual revisions being made to be kept up to date, why it's so important that we should be doing that all the time. But I think the overriding issue is the current weighting structure, which our in our district, I think you're going to find what they did find is that we're placing a little bit more weight on the top level courses than perhaps other districts that, you know, from their review. You know, and there is a fine line because you don't want to make a you know, a value of an A and an honors to have a greater weight than a, you know, an A minus and an AP, because you may lose the incentive for you know, getting kids to move forward. So you know, based on their review, we sense that ours, you know, we may be a little bit top heavy. It may be where the board wants to be. At the very least, I think we should really do a more formal collection of data, take a look at it, talk to kids, our kids, about its impact, and then come back to you with some findings in a similar fashion that we just did with the class ranking.
Okay, perfect. And the format of this review will be with the administrators? With Nicole?
Yeah, you know, I really have to review. I have to circle back to see just what data was collected by the ranking committee. You know, I don't know if they hit enough high schools, if all high schools shared with you us their weighting. Mm-hmm. So I want to see where we're at with that. It may really be just a matter of either reconvening that committee. It may simply be an internal review by our you know, the administrators up there. But I certainly think we need to get some input from kids as well to, before we enact anything, what, you know, anticipate what impact any potential change may have, so the board has that information when we go forward. Mm-hmm. And then what we would do is then look at changing the regulations, revising them to reflect, at the very least, reflect either the program of studies or get the program of studies to reflect the regulations. So.
And we'd fix that for the start of a school year. We wouldn't do it mid-year.
Well, yeah, you certainly don't want to do it mid-year. You know, that would be, I don't think the implications would really be the same as a change in class ranking. But we'd honestly, we'd have to take a look at, you know, what the implementation should look like, and what implications it may have.
Okay.
Great. And that's my report. I see heads nodding, so I'm taking that yeah. might be a good idea to go forward with that.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Good. Damon, you've got a, I don't know,
the only question I had was, would the outcome of any analysis done around the valuing of have an impact on class rank and that discussion? And I know we have it set 3.3 on the agenda, so...
Well, that would depend on whether you want to keep ranking or not, would it not? You
know, it would.
But
it
without
would.
Question, you know, anytime you change the configuration or the calculation of the value of the weight of the of a course, yeah, it's going to change the, you know, where people sit in terms of the ranking that they have.
Maybe I tip my hand a little bit, but...
Well, this is just a review. I mean, as again, you guys, you know, the board will have the final decision whether they want to see any change. You know? And as I said, at the very least, I think we ought to strive to get our regulations to be consistent with our program of studies, which currently they're not.
Agreed.
So that alone is worth, you know, reviewing if we don't change anything else.
Okay.
Great. Thanks, Dr. Montesano. Our student rep report, Indigo Gullum.
Okay. So I'd like to just start off by saying that this weekend I attended the Westchester Rocklin Junior Science and Humanities Symposium for our science research class at NIAC, and that was a fantastic experience. I love getting to see all the different research projects and seeing kind of students like me who have, you know, the same interests. And our senior Caleb Weinman won third place in his field, neurology. So a win for NIAC is a win, you know. We're all very happy about that. So today, the students were notified about some of the changes that are going to be happening with APs in terms of if you take the test. So prior to this, if you took an AP course but didn't take the test, you would not get that weighting, which is that 7 points. But that was it. And from supposedly now, not only are you getting those points taken away, but the title of having an AP course on your transcript will be stripped. So if I don't take AP literature, if I take AP literature but I don't take the test, it'll be sent out as taking English 12 honors or something like that. I'm still not 100% positive about the facts of whether this is something that the district has control over or it is actually mandated by College Board. I've heard both, so I definitely want to kind of iron that out, but a lot of students are extremely upset. And usually a lot of kids don't reach out to me and I have to reach out to them. I have gotten a tidal wave of responses and I feel obligated to share that with you. So, you know, I can go into kind of what are the opinions, but more than anything, I just want to say that I'm going to be talking with Mr. Teasdale and Ms. Saeed about it, accompanied with some of our other students that are concerned. And I'm sure you're going to be hearing about this soon. But yeah, that's sort of been the big news on the street. So that is my report.
Thanks very much, Indigo. Jim, so are we saying that historically they've been able to do the AP,
Yeah, I'm going to actually need to get some clarification as well. One of the things, and my sense is this coming from at College Board, because one of the things with advanced placement testing is very often students will take the course simply to get the AP in front of it to impress colleges. But without demonstrating performance through the examination, you know, it really doesn't necessarily assess, you know, what you're getting from the learning itself. So I do really want to take a look at this before I even give you too much information. The one largest thing I would be very concerned about if such a change goes into place is that in some instances the cost of the test itself that's one motivator for students that may stay away from taking the test. The one that typically happens is kids have gotten their college acceptances, so why should I go forward and take an AP test if I don't, you know, there's no, and then the question is there a value to the learning experience without a corresponding assessment? But let me get some fact finding so I can speak directly to the board. Maybe I get something out in the update to you.
Okay, thank you. Interesting. Thanks very much, Indigo. Okay, our Board of Education reports. It starts with Trustee Bender this evening.
President Hughes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Just a few points. Want to recognize the students who have their artwork displayed in the hallway there. In particular, there's one silhouette that I suggest you guys go see. It's an up-and-coming artist, Jacob Bender. He's all the way down at the end of the hall if you guys want to take a look at that. But no, congratulations to all the students that have their artwork being displayed. I want to thank Mr. Johnson and Ms. Addison Harris for hosting my family at the boys' modified basketball game on Thursday last week. I just figured it was time to get out to some of the sporting events, get my son into the middle school, have him take a look at the building and see things. Wasn't the outcome we were hoping for, but nonetheless, it was a good time. I think Mr. Johnson was a little bit torn because they were playing North Rockland, so that was his former district. But overall, it was fun to see. I'd never been to a basketball game where they played five quarters, 7 minutes a quarter. So it was, I guess, it's not really a quarter; it's a period. But anyway, But it was a good time. So I wanted to thank the administration over there for hosting us and making my children feel welcome at the game. And then finally, I didn't have the chance to attend the Perfect Storm presentation, which I understand was pretty powerful and talked about some serious issues with respect to alcohol and drug abuse underage. Coincidentally, and Dr. Massano, you were at the DARE graduation as well. I was at the VCE DARE graduation, and to see all of the kids so committed to sort of, you know, a quote-unquote clean lifestyle, I just kind of wonder, and I hate to be rhetorical, but where do we lose them? Where do they go wrong? I talked to Officer Norm after the graduation, and he said, you know, we do something in fifth grade, we do a little something in seventh grade at the middle school, and then I just wasn't sure if there was anything that we do at the high school, because to see the kids all gung-ho about, you know, staying off drugs, not doing, you know, drinking alcohol, and then sort of hearing about a perfect storm and all the issues, it's sort of like, what are we doing enough? Where do we go wrong? You know, again, a rhetorical question, and I hate to do that to the group, but anyway, that's just sort of top of my mind after hearing the comments about Perfect Storm and then actually going to the DARE graduation. So I don't know if anybody would like to respond to that. If not, it's perfectly okay, but again, just something that was top of my mind.
Just the one comment I want to add, you may not have been privy to the conversations, I don't recall, about the breathalyzer during the breathalyzer time frame when the board was examining that. I think one of the positive outcomes comes from that, in addition just to engaging the community about, you know, about people's perspectives. And it really came oftentimes from our students, including our last year's student representative, that more education, you know, more exposure at the high school level. And in my mind, one of the existing weaknesses, in my belief, at our high school is that the way in which our health is organized as part of the master schedule, students are not getting it on an annual basis. And right now we are in our what we call phase one of our curriculum review of our phys ed and health. That is one of the things we're looking at to bolster that. I can also share with you, in fact, we'll be taking new data this year with our students, the PRIDE survey that's given annually. The one uptick we see in this district with regard to, you know, we seem to be, our kids seem to be telling us in grade five and in grade, was it grade six and eight, grade five and eight, I don't remember off the top of my head. You know, questions like, you know, have you been exposed to it, your perceptions of, you think, you know, marijuana is harmful or alcohol is harmful. We seem to be either at or well below other data in Rockland County nationally. The jump up we see is in grade 10, that we see all of a sudden, at least last data we did, was a big spike up in that. And whether that's some cultural norms that exist in the community, norms within our, you know, teen community, it is something that does need to be addressed. One of the things I'm excited about with the new Rockland Pride survey that's going to be given this year, it's the first time we're actually going to be surveying our seniors in addition to our 10th graders, 8th graders, and it's either 5th or 6th, I don't recall. So those are some of my comments, and I do trust that when we get finished with our program review of our health program, I do anticipate coming to the board with some kind of a plan that will get, you know, more regular exposure to the educational front, because that's really one thing when the kids really brought forward is the need for us to have more engagement with kids.
Thanks, Dr. Masson. Other than that, looking forward to attending Shrek, the play at the middle school, or it's over at Bosie's. Weather pending. I'm hearing rumblings of snow, but hopefully it doesn't snow. Other than that, that is my report.
Thank you very much, Trustee Benda.
You're welcome.
Trustee Motion.
Thank you, President Hughes. just a few things. I attended the Clarkstown had a meeting on January the 31st, I should say, with respect to the new ward system that's going to be implemented within the town of Clarkstown. And the impact may, and this was brought up at the meeting, may affect school districts depending on how the wards are divided. So Clarkstown is going to move to a ward system of governance whereby one council member will be elected from each of the four wards. And they selected a firm to draw the boundary lines. It was interesting where the boundary lines are going to be drawn. Valley Cottage, Upper Nyack, and Central Nyack will become a single ward. So what this does, essentially, it does several things. And Supervisor Homan was trying to address the concerns because there was not a lot of the favorability or the positives versus negatives. There was less favorability about the ward system versus favorable, and the key phrase that he kept bringing up was overdevelopment, because people didn't understand, well, why are we being divided into wards? So if you think about a ward system, if Valley Cottage, Central Nyack, and Upper Nyack have one vote in terms of appointing your town council, then you can't block vote your town council. So the different wards only have one vote in terms of appointing your existing council members. That's kind of what it boiled down to. But there were a lot. The room wasn't packed, but there was a lot of representation. So it will have impact on school districts. And that question came up. Well, you know, how's it going to affect, you know, school districts? So the next meeting is in March. It will be announced. You will get another letter, like you got in your board packet. So if you can make it, it's a good. You know, it's a very good thing to attend. In terms of some commentary on the month that we're in now, in terms of Black History Month, I did go see the movie Hidden Figures, and it was a history lesson that, you know, was lost on me, and I'm sure a number of people, it's an American story. It's not particularly an African American. It features African American women who contributed to the NASA space program, but it is in fact an American story. So if you haven't seen it, it was really phenomenal in every aspect, acting and the storyline and in every way. So if you haven't seen it, it's a film that I would highly recommend. In terms of the rest of the report, I just want to shift gears briefly, and I shared this with Dr. Montesano at a recent SOAR meeting. It's the mentor program at the middle school where we have some volunteers that come and mentor our middle school kids in terms of their homework and provide some positive games that they can do, and it's after school. It's a very multifaceted program. Officer Sullivan is one of the mentors. Adal is Regis, as I explained at my last board report, is one of the co-founders. And it was a good meeting. But what happened at this particular meeting, I just had some notes here that I want to read from. We had a sixth grader, and I walked into this meeting, and he was in need of help because he had just had a bullying experience that day. And without going into much detail about what happened to him and what he went through, he needed help. He was reaching out for help. So the other kids had kind of left and gone to the basketball game, and we had to spend some time kind of unpacking his experience and kind of helping him through some coping skills of what had happened. So it led me to kind of ask some questions about our programs here. So one of the questions was, what can the district be doing better? How effective is what we're doing now? And I've shared this on numerous occasions with the district and what we can explore. And after experiencing this incident, I also got some feedback from members of our community. And one was very interesting. One person said that this has been a discussion, the idea, is this an issue in our school district? This has been a discussion in a small group primarily at Grace Church. With input from other community activists with long experience. We've heard anecdotal but strong evidence that this, meaning bullying, is happening. And we've been discussing how to approach it. We thought about Southern Poverty Law Center's Teaching Tolerance Program, which is free to educators. Another community member said, yes, it's an issue. I've suggested outside programs coming in on tolerance. So what was interesting, two of these community members responded, and they both mentioned the word tolerance. So. And these comments aren't reflective of the entire community, but they shed some light in my mind that that you know there's some work that can be done. Like we're doing an equity lens right now to look at how to assist staff in undoing racism. And Audrey Cabell gave a wonderful report last meeting about comprehensive ELL services. So this is just one aspect based upon this incident that I thought would be worth the district exploring further. And then lastly, you know, as a board. We're all responsible in terms of being elected officials for determining policy and program. And as an individual trustee, I'm really grateful for the district that they're looking at programs at the high school, focusing on building blocks of healthy development, assisting students to grow up in a healthy, caring, responsible way. That's an elective that's being looked at the high school, and that's good. But what not only this experience, not only the comments suggests is that children in every school district are being confronted a lot with, you know, anti-immigrant sentiments. This young gentleman, the sixth grader, he was actually in tears. And he said to Adal and myself, he goes, I'm bullied every day, every single day. And it just stopped me. So, you know, we spent that time kind of help him. I didn't have the Olveus model in my head, but I did kind of, his mechanism was, my mom told me that I should just talk about his mother. I'm like, no, that's not going to be the mechanism for you. So let's give you some words that you can use to kind of, you know, help yourself. But we know from the ACADA meeting that bullying occurs in cyberspace 24/7 on and off campus. So that was just something I wanted to put out there. And I know that the district hasn't finalized its decisions around the K through 12 social emotional development. But one of the things that came out of some of the reading in terms of restructuring the school environment is really, the entire school environment is really, whether the program is Ovalius or something that's organically brought into the district, in the long run would have the immeasurable positive effects in reducing these types of incidents. So that is my report.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the comprehensive nature of the report.
Thank you.
Trustee Mark.
Thank you, President Hughes. Also wanted to recognize the artwork from Valley Cottage in the hallway. I noticed there was a sign that said this is the 77th gallery showing of Hilltop Galleries. Really a nice program that's always well attended for all the schools, and the artwork is great. So it's nice to see that. Just take 1 minute. I'm going to jump the gun just a little, since that's all I have to report. I just wanted to, I know we're going to be voting on a resolution later that I'm applauding, but I just want to express a little concern about the individual that was chosen as the Secretary of Education today. With all the hyperbole and inflated statements that are coming out of Washington, I want to make sure that we're attentive and there's no statement about a person being elected with any mandate or anything. This is a person who was elected with one vote. And I think we need to be vigilant about what's going to happen to our public education system. So I'm very appreciative of the resolution we're going to vote on later. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Michael. Trustee Irvin.
Yeah, I was wondering actually what, thank you, President Hughes. I was wondering what happened to Betsy DeVos. I wasn't sure whether or not she
50-50 vote, confirmed. The vice president had the vote to put her in.
Because if you recall, a number of sessions, another couple of meetings ago, I mentioned that we had a report for the Lower Hudson Superintendents and Board Member Conference about changes coming out of Washington and to be vigilant with respect to supporting public education. I know it's been a focal point of the Rockland County School Board Association. There was a letter sent on behalf of them and basically all the districts in Rockland County agreed with that resolution, indicating that we still wanted to express specific support for public education and the importance of public education. So I think in light of this confirmation, we're going to have to be hypervigilant to make sure whenever we have the opportunities to do so, we take a stand to support public education. A lot of things are changing, and I'm kind of reeling from all of this, but that and everybody in my household, and I think most of the cast of Shrek, everybody having the flu, it's been an interesting few weeks. So everybody just hanker down, get well, drink lots of fluids, and we'll get through. Yeah, I was going to mention Shrek. I would like to highlight that the middle school is putting on the play. I saw my daughter's costume when I dropped off some pizza to her tonight, and it's hilarious. She's Pinocchio. But they've had some difficulties with that play schedule because everyone in the cast has the flu, including my daughter, my family are all sick. They canceled rehearsal yesterday because the entire lead cast was out. It's ravaged this community from what I understand. I know we've all got it, and you can hear my voice. I've semi got it. My husband came home from work yesterday. It's going around. So y'all can stay away from me tonight. But I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the Inspire NIAC event that's coming up. T is usually here putting his plug in for Inspire NIAC, and since he's not able to be here tonight, I will mention it. I didn't go last year because I had foot surgery, and I really missed it. It's a lot of fun. Come out for casino night. It's really a great event, and it's a direct supporter of programming here at NIAC Schools, so it's worth the time and effort. And that's my report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Trustee Irvin. Last but not least.
All right.
Trustee Maraschino.
Well, lots of good things said already. Just commenting on James's comments. I love the word tolerance that you kind of focused on. And Jim, I know you just kind of mentioned that the health curriculum is going to be reviewed in the future. So I don't know, maybe that's a place to look at that. I'm not sure if that fits in or
what,
not.
What you're going to see probably very shortly, in fact, I just had a meeting with Lorraine and Dave Johnson, who have been out with a committee looking at various models, and this is really part of the K-12 social emotional. That's really where a lot of this will fit into. What I'm going to be anticipating, particularly in the middle school, because in that setting, that pre-adolescent setting, that's really where the majority of these types of incidents that, you know, other than cyberbullying, which we know, you know, continues on through the high school years, you're going to see some recommendations with some, I think, some very significant changes. In fact, I think it was up in Lakeland School District, middle school, they came back with a very impressive program. Yeah. They are getting some sample materials and things. So I think you'll see some. That together with, we had a meeting today with the Undoing Racism group. Mm-hmm. And I think first of all, I think a lot of that is interrelated because a lot of that's about cultural empathy. Mm-hmm. So all I can share with you that anytime we make any change, we want to do it very thorough and we want to do it consistently. Any curriculum we look at in this district, we always want to look at vertical articulation in terms of beginning points to the ending points, that there's consistency, horizontal articulation, so that regardless of whether you're in sixth grade team is this or team this, there's a similar focus, you know, across the district itself. So, it's a arduous process. I think we've got a lot of good people, very talented people that are looking at this, and I do think you'll see, much like you've seen with other curriculums, you'll see us come back to you with a program review and implementation phase and things of that sort.
Okay. Totally different question. If I just heard some news that maybe a parent had passed away in our school district.
There has been a loss, which apparently was, a prolonged illness, and my understanding is I don't have a confirmation of the death, but it's my understanding based on the news that the middle school received that a mom had passed away.
That's correct.
I can share with the board that for a lot of our kids in the middle school, when there's somebody close to them, I'm sure this mom was involved in carpooling, through the years, and it's a student that's been with us for quite a while. There's a lot of unsettlement amongst the students that knew her, that knew the other student, knew the family. So we did have we do have a very well-trained crisis response team. We had probably seen about 40 kids today through counseling. Kids are really distraught. Every child that was seen by either a social worker, school psychologist, or guidance counselor, parents were called in advance so that they had requested that, yes, you should see them. We will also look at, once arrangements are made, having some staff representation there, working with the family to, ensure we can offer any assistance of that sort. And obviously want to be, whatever we do, it's in concert with the family's wishes. Mm-hmm. And those, handling the kids, very often when the immediacy of it happens, there's a lot of concerns. We'll try to assist any parents that, have children, curious about death and all those things. And then my sense as well is that when the funeral arrangements happen, we'll go through this all over again, through forward. But that's what I took out of that today.
Thank you for sharing all that. I had just heard about it right before I came tonight. So thank you. It sounds like the district's doing a lot. And I was just going to, on a happy note, because that's so sad to hear about and upsetting, I was just going to share, this isn't completely school related, but the one thing I got to do, I'm glad you got to go and represent us at NIAG Center this weekend, but I was in Jamaica, and not to rub it in, but it was a global telethon.
Jamaica Queens.
But I was there because it was a global staff retreat. I work for a nonprofit that does work globally in developing countries all over the world. Indonesia, Philippines, various parts of Africa, the former Soviet Union. So I just had to mention it because it was such a neat experience being with people who are from all these various countries, Tajikistan, Azerbaijan, Senegal, Tanzania, Colombia, just kind of learning about all of our differences and really all the similarities that everyone has. Mm-hmm. There is a sort of a reflection piece in regards to being on the school board, which it just makes you realize sort of the value of appreciating these differences and similarities in culture. And just listening to Audrey Cabell's presentation last week and just being part of a district that has so much diversity and culture in it. It just got me, just something to kind of put in our minds to think about how maybe, you know, it sounds like right now there's just so much immediacy with all of our English language learners, but how as we move forward, maybe we could just think about sharing all of these experiences from the different cultures. On top of that, also language, when you're with people from all over the world, you realize how ridiculous it is in the U.S. that so many of us only know one language. You feel like a complete idiot. You know, there was probably 5 of us out of 50 that only could speak one language. Many of the people from our New York staff who did get educated here in the U.S. spoke multiple languages because they had made it a priority. But, you know, it just got me thinking a little bit about maybe one day being at a place where we can implement an immersion program. You know, I know kind of I think we're just beginning to maybe approach that phase, but just the huge importance of really knowing a language so well. And I know we're fortunate to be able to start our kids in 7th grade, right, in a language. But it just kind of really struck home the value in this global world of knowing more than one language. Got to start doing something myself. But yeah, so just wanted to, didn't want to rub it in, just wanted to share sort of the, you know, just the reflection piece for us as school board members. So thanks for listening.
Thanks, Jen.
This is
sorry.
There is, I noticed on Facebook, I was plowing through, there's a gentleman who moved to NIAC fairly recently, and I know he's reached out to Joe McCora. He's got a program around valuing diversity through bringing, whether it's tools, books, sharing information about different cultures. I think it's something called Think Tank.
Huh.
I can't remember. I'll find the name before we leave, but again, it's something he's, so it, it even if it may not necessarily be something within, but something coming into us. So, you know, we live in such a great community for mm-hmm. that, and we are diverse, so it would be good as we see these happenings. But that's great to bring to the table, Jen. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's it. Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Yep. Okay. Thank you very much, everyone. Great reports. Are there any responses to citizens' prior questions? Are there any responses to citizens' prior proposals, questions, and concerns, Dr. Montesano?
There are none.
Thank you. And we have one sign-in today, David Saatchi. Could you state your name for the podcast, David?
My name is David Saatchi. How are you, folks?
Good. How are you?
My wife and I have been here before. May or may not recognize us in regards to special education. And we just wanted to kind of come back and relate to you some of the things that have been happening over the past 2.5 years. Basically, we lived in NIAC for several years and moved to New Jersey. And when we moved to New Jersey, our youngest son, Christopher, started first grade there. We actually have three children in the school system. We have a son and daughter in the high school. Christopher, who is our youngest, he's in the middle school currently. He's in the 8th grade. And when we moved to New Jersey, we discovered that he had challenges. He was diagnosed with dyslexia, and we ran into normal struggles, it seems, with the school system, just as we did here. And basically, they were not very willing to provide services and so forth. And it took a while, quite a while, to get an IEP. And basically, we had to take it upon ourselves to get a tutor. Christopher was tutored by a Wilson certified specialist for grades 2 through 5. And it was a struggle because the teachers there didn't necessarily abide by the IEP, and it was very new to us. But one of the things that had happened was when Christopher started 3rd grade, the superintendent had come in, had a sister who was of special needs, and he understood the importance of having specialized programs and so forth. So what he did was, he kind of made it a requirement that the special education teachers go to be trained and be certified in Wilson. So that was a big help because Christopher was working with a Wilson certified instructor, and it took some time, but once these reading specialists bought into the Wilson program, it helped. It helped quite a bit because there was a synergy that formed, and Christopher's tutor was then allowed to communicate with these special ed teachers, and they were speaking the same language. But again, it was not easy. We still had our struggles with teachers not following the IEP and so forth. Anyway, we moved back to NIAC. Christopher starts in sixth grade. When we met with our chairperson, Ken Poca, he said that basically they wouldn't really be deviating from the IEP that we brought with us. We also brought an evaluation from a Dr. Sharma, who's a neuropsychologist here in Bergen County. And when we got together for our next CSE meeting, the IEP was basically torn apart. And we were presented with this document that was very vague. The measurable goals, they were open-ended. Totally different from what we have. And in Dr. Sharma's report, it was clearly noted that Christopher needed the aid of a Wharton-Gillingham reading-based program, Wilson program. He was diagnosed with dyslexia. So there were a lot of bullet points that were taken out of this IEP. And as I said, it was made to be a very vague document. And with a lot of pushing back and so forth, it was suggested that Christopher work with Stephanie Luciani, who's a reading teacher here at school. And Christopher worked with her for 2 years, throughout the sixth grade, seventh grade, and it was interesting because we never were totally told that she didn't have a certification in special education. She's just a general reading teacher. Correct. So it's kind of weird that we have a child that has an IEP just working with a general reading teacher. And if you went to your doctor, your primary doctor, and he said, hey, you're having some heart issues, I think you should go see a heart specialist, you wouldn't say, well, I'll just take two Tylenol and keep coming back to you, doc, because I'm comfortable. No, you would consult a specialist. So Christopher didn't make much progress at all. And it's pretty disappointing because the conversation constantly with Ken Poca was, well, here's a pamphlet, you have rights. And that's all we kept hearing. There was really no suggestion of a reading program, a specialized reading program. I mean, that's what an IEP is about. It's an individualized educational program. So if you have an IEP and you have a reading disability, how can you perform without a specialized program? That's why the Wilson worked so well for him. And this went on throughout sixth grade. And again, we had our struggles. When Christopher started the seventh grade, it was interesting because we were warned that the curriculum was going to get hard, going to move along fast. So we decided to pull back on the tutoring to just kind of ease up on the stress. And my wife worked considerably with him, reading books, going through lessons, so she could keep up with him, so she knew exactly where he was with his lessons. Now, when the seventh grade started up again, we again requested a specialized reading program, got no, not happening, that sort of thing. So the answer was, let's work with Stephanie Luciani and read 180. Well, Read 180 really isn't a program for a child that is reading three grades below their grade. And if you remember the emails that were tossed around last year, one of Dr. Montesano's comments was, well, Read 180 is for children with mild disabilities. There's nothing mild about a child reading three grades below. And again, even with that, nothing happened. We tried to appeal to Dr. Giardinella, nothing. We went 42 days without a return email. I don't know how the head of the special education department can go without an out-of-office reply, or without fixing a message on a phone or what have you. But anyway, that was the case. And again, the continued struggle went on. And basically, we were really, really taken back, and we tried to work very hard with the staff, but there was just no cooperation at all. And to this day, there still isn't cooperation, really. And I keep going back to a specialized program, because when you have dyslexia, when you have these reading disabilities, you need a program like a Wilson, like a Linda Moonbell, because they teach the child special strategies, methods, things that a conventional learner just doesn't work with. And these are references that that child needs in order to get from point A to point B. Conventional learner doesn't need them. I mean, imagine if you had to program your body every day. If you had to tell your body to open your eyes, sit up, turn around, push yourself off the bed, plant your feet on the floor, that kind of thing. These programs are intense, and they teach these methods and strategies, and they're repetitious. So what happens is these kids have this as a reference, and when they have it down cold, it appears as though they are conventional learners, but there are other steps in there that they're processing in order to get them from point A to point B. But it's the repetition, it's the intensity of it, and it's the methods themselves that get them to this point. So we don't have that. Point blank, we don't have those programs, we don't have that kind of instruction. And again, we keep plodding along, and here we are 2.5 years out without any kind of specialized or individualized program. When we got to a point where Christopher was in the 7th grade, we suggested that we have a CSE meeting. We actually hired an attorney just to kind of sort all of this out and explain all of this information to us, because things were different from New Jersey to New York. And the attorney actually came to the CSE meeting with us just to kind of hear and see and observe. And it was kind of amazing because Ms. Greenwald did an evaluation on Christopher. And if you read this evaluation, he scored low average, poor in most of the categories. And we're sitting there in a CSE meeting, and she says, oh no, he's average and above average. So I'm just scratching my head saying, where are you getting this information from? You did this evaluation. How could you say he's average and above average? It's not the case. It's not the case at all. Look at these scores. Look at these assessments. Most of them are low average, poor. Where are you coming from? So it was at that point in that meeting that we stopped the meeting, and the suggestion was, well, let's go out and get an outside evaluation. So we did do that. But before we get to that, I want to just mention a couple of things, because I keep going back to a specialized reading program. I keep going back to an individualized program, because it's so important that these children have this program, and we don't have it here. And we're talking about this great community that we all live in, and the diversity, and so many things that it offers, but yet our special education department does not offer these programs. It's not rocket science. It's what they need. I don't understand why we're not partnering up with Linda Moonbell, Wilson, that sort of thing. I don't understand why we're not looking into that partnership. I don't understand why we have a general reading teacher and not one who's certified in special education in the middle school. Basically, the 7th grade year went on. We had our struggles with Christopher. His skills diminished greatly. His confidence diminished greatly. It was really, really a tough year for him. It was a very difficult year. And you know, I was kind of surprised because Ms. Gregory gave that PowerPoint presentation last year in the high school auditorium. And I didn't hear any suggestion about how we were going to make anything better, what we were going to do. I mean, basically, she said, our special education, it's in the toilet. We have serious problems here. But I didn't hear any suggestions as to what we were going to do. And I can tell you, that with a child who has special needs, nothing has happened. So in terms of data and that sort of thing, you can look to Christopher for that piece. I want to continue on about Christopher's seventh grade year, because in the latter part of the year, things got really difficult and extremely disappointing. There was, Christopher, I know the boy was suspended. I know you got a letter of appeal. A letter of appeal went to the board. That incident was totally blown out of proportion, and those boys were falsely accused. I can tell you that Dean Kennedy made the first phone call regarding that incident. Was totally off base in how he reported it. And that story changed three times between phone calls with Dean Kennedy and Principal Johnson. Story changed three times. It was unfortunate that those boys were suspended for something that truly was just misunderstood. Anyway, I had mentioned that at that CSE meeting that the suggestion was to go outside and have another evaluation done. Well, we did that. And we hired Dr. Brown, and at Dr. Giardinella's acceptance.
Can I just correct you? It was through the school.
Yep. Right. It was through the school, and she approved it. And as the year went on, we were getting closer to basically the summer. And again, we had to endure these struggles. We had teachers that weren't paying attention to the IEP. I don't know, they just weren't reading it, weren't interested, but there were several incidents where they just weren't paying attention to it. And it just continued to ruin Christopher's confidence. School is supposed to be a place where you feel safe, you're invigorated, you learn, work pays it off for him. And the topper to the seventh grade year was he was in some elective. And his project was a car. He was building a car. He raised his hand and he asked the teacher for some more paint. The teacher mumbled something under his breath. He finally got up. And from what I understand, this particular teacher is kind of crotchety, a little overweight, maybe even a little up there in age. And he walked over to Christopher, placed the paints down on his desk, slapped him on the back of the neck with an open hand, and then called him a knucklehead. And all Christopher could do was just basically laugh along with his classmates. Now, he was pretty upset. And his next class was with Miss Luciani. He goes to that class. It was obvious that he was upset. She asked him what happened. He explained. She said to him, "Well, hit me. Show me what the teacher did. Show me how hard he hit you." Christopher's answer was, "No, I don't want to hurt you." Now, how is it that Christopher and this other boy are wrongfully accused, get suspended, but this teacher was right back in school the next day? Was there a report filed? Was there an investigation? We have no idea. No idea at all. We don't know how he was reprimanded. We don't know anything. For all we know, he could have been given a cup of coffee and sent on his way. And then to boot, Ms. Luciani never reported this incident. She never reported it. From what I understand, it's 24 hours to report an incident. So if the incident happened around 11:30, 12 o'clock on Thursday, I got to Mr. Johnson Friday morning, because by the time Christopher got home, we heard about it, school day was pretty much done and over. So I went to school the very next morning. And that's how Principal Johnson found out about the incident, and therefore found out that Ms. Luciani knew about it and hadn't reported it by that time. So it was not a good year. And I keep going back to the specialized program and how important they are. And I want you to think about a concept. Imagine this. Think about having to learn how to learn while learning. Okay? It's kind of like a little bit of a mind bender, a tongue twister, but think about that. And it goes back to the specialized programs, because they're processing this information, so they're actually learning how to learn it while they're learning. So, again, from a conventional standpoint, they're not sitting down and reading a passage, getting through it with fluency and so forth. It's a problem for them. They can't. They're not doing it. And this is the problem with the special education department. You can't have 24 kids in a classroom. 10 of them have IEPs. That means that they all have disabilities in one form or another. So how could you effectively get to each of those disabilities and help them? You can't. It's impossible. Especially if they all differ in each way. There's no way it can be done. So these kids are being just kind of pushed through the system. And when you talk about support, there's a difference between support and services. We don't have services. So the support they're getting isn't giving them the tools they need.
Please direct your remarks to the board. Yeah, I don't really need to be lectured. Just please.
I'm not lecturing.
Keep your focus over here.
Point.
This is the group you're talking to.
Understood.
Thank you.
So that's a huge concern. Huge concern. And it's not there. And it hasn't been there. And I'm not sure that it will get there. You know, it was interesting. We got in the mail a letter from the school saying Christopher made the honor roll. Because when he started the eighth grade, he said, "Mom, Dad, I don't want a tutor this year. I want to go it on my own." So we respected his wishes. He showed a lot of fight. And he said, "Okay, fine, no problem." Well, unfortunately, Christopher was failing his core courses. And when we got the letter regarding the honor roll, it was interesting because he got 100 in gym, 100 in art, and these other electives, so it brought his average up. You know, when was someone going to raise their hand and say, "Hey, we have a problem here"? Even with the emails back and forth, it was just amazing. And then 2 days later, we get a letter in the mail that says basically, "Well, it looks like Christopher is not going to meet his goals." Okay. So another CSE meeting was called, and we met Mr. Macias for the first time. Ken Boca was there, a few select other people, teachers, and they had this great idea, an out-of-the-box idea. And this out-of-the-box idea was to have this teacher that they discovered who has a certification in reading, from what I understand. She's a special education reading teacher with a certification. So they happen to stumble on her. Okay? Well, what is she certified in? Well, we're not really sure. Well, what do you think she's going to do with Christopher? Well, we'll work on that. We'll figure it out, but it'll be good. No, not happening. Not happening anymore. Sorry. We don't have the specialized programs. We don't have individualized programs. The services aren't there. So again, with all this community has to offer, we need to focus on this, because it's just not happening. Why? I don't know. I don't know if we don't know how to fix it. We don't want to fix it. I don't understand. But it's a problem, and it's there. Every day, Christopher has the same basic routine. And just before he's ready to leave the house, he stands by the front door, he adjusts his backpack, and he gives us a look back. And it's a look as, "Well, I'll go, but only because you're asking me to go." It shouldn't be that way. He shouldn't be walking out that door feeling that way. These kids should have the services. They should have the support. They should have more than they have. The dynamic of the special education department is not working. And we were waiting to hear back from people regarding suggestions, conferences, never happened, not on any level. So, and here, I'm asking you to please pay special attention to this. This is a big problem. It's not happening. We need help. There are plenty of kids that need help. And it's a bigger issue because you talk about things like depression and disorderly conduct and that sort of thing. Some of that stems from this as well. Because if a kid can't get through school, well, what did they do? What's next? Well, I might as well have a good time while I'm here. I might as well be a hellraiser. I'm not getting through school, it's not working for me. I might as well have fun. So I can't help but think that some of the disciplinary issues that we have stems from this very subject. I appreciate your time. We appreciate your patience. We are always available to be spoken to off the record, whatever the case may be. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sashi. I do appreciate, on behalf of the board, thank you so much for bringing your concerns in front of the board. I saw Dr. Montesano scribbling furiously, so no doubt, and we will ask him to follow up on some of the pertinent points that you raised that are, I certainly heard some concerning points, and I don't need to reiterate them. It's pretty clear what they are, and I'm sure Dr. Montesano will look into these and get back to us on the board and yourselves around these issues. Dr. Montesano, anything to add?
No, just simply that, you know, the decisions that are being represented or the comments being represented certainly, you know, are welcomed. My comments to the board are simply this. What I would really first off suggest is that we have Ralph DeMarco provide the board, if the board has an interest in learning a little bit more about the position of the district with regard to some of these matters. Clearly, you know, from my point of view, while I'm very concerned with any child in this district that's coming to school not feeling ready to learn or not feeling, you know, needs are being met, at the same time, I don't know I necessarily agree with all the characterizations that are represented. I have no idea what the weight of a child, you know, teacher in our school has to do with a child's learning abilities. But having said that, these decisions with regard to IEP, and I know most of the board members are well aware of IDEA and with regard to the process and decisions come out of the CSE. Ralph has been a part of this process. I would really ask him to apprise the board along with Leo to give you an update should the board have an interest, and that would be done obviously in closed session. This is not the forum for me to comment and review any of the concerns that are raised. But, you know, what I will agree with is, you know, the issue is not just with their son, but with all our kids. Anytime we have a discrepancy between, you know, where a child's needs fall and our ability to meet those needs, that's a concern for us. And I do agree there's always areas that we do need to improve upon. Just having said that, as I said, I think the proper form for us is to provide an update to the board. And again, I think that should be done in exec session. I think the best person to provide that information to the board is the school attorney who has some knowledge of this situation along with Mr. Macias.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see that happen, Jim.
Sure.
Just to follow up. I mean, Mr. Sashi had a, you know, very comprehensive report. And so I don't, unless anybody feels here that they would not like to have a follow-up on this.
Well, no, absolutely.
Well, we'll talk offline. Yeah. Not
no, I you know, I just, you know, to the parents, you know, while I know we have not been able to just demonstrate any reason for hope for you that things will improve, and I heard a lot of the tone that, you know, we're just not getting it right. And my only comment is just please, you know, try to hold on to faith in us that we really do want to see your son succeed in our schools. And you know, let's see where we can move forward in a positive way.
Okay.
If appropriate, it would be wonderful, maybe at a future meeting on a more general level to get
know, just with all due respect, you know, this there are some very specific issues about a specific child in the district. This is not the forum for that.
I was just going to ask if maybe if we can hear about the district's programs for dyslexia in general, not in regards to this case, right. But, you know, they're just
I would just, again, I just would state to you, before we get into specifics, I would really like to get you updated with regard to this particular case.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll see things in a little different lens. But at the same time, as you know, I work for you, so whatever the board wishes me to do, whatever kind of programs you want to see take place in this room, that's something for you guys to decide.
Let's take a step at a time, right? Let's deal with this case, get what we get, and then go from there. All right? Like you said, we could have Ralph in the meeting, we'd have Leo there as well. Let's take it a step at a time.
I think that's a good first step.
First step, okay. Thanks again, Mr. Saatchi and Mrs. Saatchi. Thank you for coming to the board. Appreciate it. Okay. Any other citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns on the workshop items? Dr. Montesano.
Yes, moving to workshop. She's been waiting patiently. I do think that. Lisa is here tonight. You have seen her presentation. I hope you've had a chance to review it, which will allow her to move it somewhat rapidly. So I'm going to give her the floor and invite you, if you can't really see the screen, to move yourself in a position that you can. She'll make some opening comments and then really open the floor, for the board itself to take a look at.
Okay. While Kevin is getting this set up on the screen, do we want the lights out? I do just want to say that was some tough communication to segue into this, and I do really appreciate the opportunity to present to the board and to give you an overview of what we've been doing in the communication department. And I have had plenty of experience in the past 15 years to speak to the board as a parent, as an advocate, as a community member, as an FRC coordinator, and now this is my first chance to really speak to you and present what we've been doing the last couple years in the communication department. And I really want to say I consider it a great privilege to be working alongside Dr. Massano, developing this department. And it really has been a culmination of some of the things I really truly care about for the school community. I believe that communication is really the key to developing trust and developing relationships, and that's really what we're all about. So articulate, authentic communication is really something I've been very thrilled to and honored to be working with. So tonight we're here with our site on communication. There's a little play on words here. The site is an acronym that holds our communication plan in a nutshell for connect, integrate, tell, and engage. So looking a little closer, site definition to make reference to mention, quote, commend, praise, summon, or call in an official manner. We really want to be able to use communication officially. We want to be able to have our site on communication. We want to cite it often and cite our communication plan as we are working throughout the year to take action, use the time frames, meet our goals, and provide indicators of success with our communication plan. So connecting, integrating, telling our story, engaging. That done in a continual cycle is what we're really all about, again, to have the ultimate goal of building trust, equity in our community. Okay, so this is an overview of the communication plan. I'm not going to go point by point. I know Dr. Montesano said you have had an opportunity to look at it, but I want you to see pieces of it and how it's integrated and be able to then focus in. The focus for the communication plan has really been to assist Dr. Montesano in creating a strategic communication plan for the district, to promote the district vision, the renewed vision that we've really been working hard on, and, of course, strengthening the home-to-school, school-to-home connections to keep our community informed, engaged, and invested, again, with the ultimate goal of building trust equity. I found this quote when I first started in this role, and I've really taken it as a cornerstone for my own belief, is the basic building block of a good communication is the feeling that every human being is unique and of value, and we all have had some conversation and quotes and citing tonight about the diversity of our community and the great community that we live in and the uniqueness of it. We want to really be able to, in our communication department, promote the uniqueness. We live in a microcosm of the United States. The diversity that we have really reflects the diversity of the United States, the changing demographics that we have. Give us an opportunity as well as provide us with challenges that we have. So our challenges of being diverse are also our opportunity to be able to promote in the communication department. Okay, so this is the PR mission. This is sort of my mantra. There's photos around it that kind of encapsulate the mission. But basically, we're committed to providing accessible information to all families, encouraging authentic dialogue, as well as listening for new ways to optimize engagement in the community, and ultimately proudly promoting the daily successes is what has really been a focus for me in communications. This is just a little bit of a listing of some of the specific things that are on the leadership plan that have developed with Dr. Montesano. Dr. Montesano's plan for the district that each administrator has created, and it all is aligned with the mission of our district as well as the Board of Education goals. So again, just not to go through them all, but really wanting to ensure the PR role that it's an evolving role. It's a little different than what it was before I got here, so that it's outlined, relevant, sustained, and aligned with district goals. Incorporating ENSTRA best practices. ENSTRA is the National School PR Association, which I've been really grateful and privileged to be able to go the past couple years to their national conferences. We've launched and managed 6 new sites, and I know you guys know all about that, but that has really been the lion's share of what I've worked on. It has integrated a lot of new technology, which new software, whether it's PeachJar, Let's Talk, Parent Portal through Infinite Campus. And we really have also worked hard on coordinating the 5 school sites so that it reflects the district mission and that it's coordinated through the district homepage. Developing community forum venue, we did that twice last year with the most likely to succeed film screening and the highlighting innovations and programs. The community priority survey results. We continue to plan for another one. I think we've set one for March 30th, maybe coming up. Increased awareness for cultural proficiency, that has been mentioned a couple times, and I just want to stop for a second to say how incredibly proud of this district I am, and of Dr. Montesano and of the board, very grateful that this is actually a key area that we've been able to communicate and learn to continue. As we are celebrating the diversity, we also know that diversity can divide us, and we really are learning how to understand the inadvertent systemic racism that is just part of our school district, that we're really having an opportunity to be able to communicate amongst ourselves so we can understand our districts better, be more effective. And then branding the renewed vision logo, promoting the core elements of education, which I know you guys know about, the communication, collaboration, creativity, critical thinking, compassion, cultural awareness. All of what we're promoting really comes down to that. So this is the overview of what we're doing now. Along with the communication plan, we have various outreach initiatives. Again, they're sort of all out there to give you an overview, but basically I guess what I would want to say is we're working on training and support that's really needed to provide not only like the Undoing Racism workshops, but also training for the new software that all of our district staff needs to have to be able to manage the sites and to use them to the optimum level. We also have a database update campaign, which is so core to communication because in order for all of these software and new communication tools that we have to work together to truly integrate, We really have to do a data update for all of our household contacts. We're working on that now so that then we'll be able to get everybody up and going on Parent Portal, go paperless, and that's going to be a huge undertaking. So next steps, in a little while, at the second part of this presentation, we're going to be looking at potential entree into social media. So new websites. We've already sort of said that's been the centerpiece of connection, incorporating the core elements of education. The homepage features, I hope you all have had a chance to take a look at it and peruse. But the spotlight is our name for the slideshows that are on, so spotlight on each school, spotlight on the district. They're updated every Monday now with our new Monday Media Mondays that I've been promoting with the school site managers in each of the schools. Superintendent's page has his letters and kind of promotes his vision, and there's also like a resource log for from the most likely to succeed. We're going to hope to build on that a little bit. New directories was specifically, sorry to give my back to you guys, but new directories were actually a specific request by principals. So the school directories on each of the new school sites have a listing of school staff and teachers with direct links to their email. So that promotes better communication. Community Matters link directly to some of our community partners like Nyack Center, the Village, websites, libraries, and the latest one is Visit Nyack, which they really are interested in promoting what we're doing in the school district and having that partnership back and forth. Newsworthy is sort of our new blog for promoting the various exciting things that are happening on our website. On our homepage, Video Ensemble is another software that we're going to be training staff to have. It's going to be able to house and host and coordinate various videos for teachers and staff to use, all for enhancing education. A language button. I don't know if you know about the language button, but in the top left-hand corner of our websites, there's a language button that is so cool. It instantly translates into 98 languages, and that's been a real helpful tool for our increasing Spanish-speaking population, that they are now going to be able to be involved with the information that we have up there. Each of our websites are social media ready with Twitter and Facebook able to be embedded. So, peach jar highlights. From September to just this past year, we've had we have over 4,500 active users that are our district families. We have had 123,793 sends. Those are unique, successful deliveries of electronic flyers to our families. 50,108 unique opens, which means that the 50,000 are the actual successful opens of email. And actually, just as an interesting aside, MailChimp says that that is typically 20% open for educational email, and our opens are at 48.8%. So that's another way that we're really communicating. We've saved about 40 trees and 305,537 pieces of paper just in September. So, you know, it's a tool that we're using that's great. Let's Talk is another, this is really a core to our authentic dialogue and conversation. It invites anybody who wants to submit a question, concern, suggestion, compliment. And basically, this is just giving you the highlights of Let's Talk. We have had our interest areas have been 29% from the high school, 20% regarding central admin, also regarding state testing and breathalyzers. Those have been some trending issues that we've had on Let's Talk. The average feedback score, so after every conversation dialogue takes place, we invite the submitter to give us a score. So over the entire time that we have had Let's Talk, our average score is 8.4 out of 10. So again, this is really promoting conversation and dialogue that's authentic with our community. These next slides just kind of show you that 84% of our feedback score, 7 to 10. Our feedback score jumped up in September 2014 when we really got trained on it, and it stayed up there at like 9 for our feedback score. This just shows you that 74% of the customers that submit Let's Talk are parent guardians. We also have some students, employees, and community members who've submitted. And this just shows you the dialogue type, which is mostly questions. That 50% area is mostly questions that people submit on Let's Talk, but also 23% comments, 14% concerns, and then there's also compliments and some other areas. So another icon, little symbol on our website besides the peach jar and Let's Talk is in the news. I don't know if you've been able to see it, but if you click on that little news icon on our website, it'll take you right to all of the links of where we've been in the news for the past 2 years. So for the 2 years, we've been featured 24 times, and we have all those links to the that we've been doing, and I'm really proud of that. We've been able to spotlight that, and we will continue to promote all the good things that we're doing in our classrooms and hallways. This sort of connects to the Going Paperless initiative I want you to see. So Infinite Campus Parent Portal is our new data management system. And so about 40% of our high school and middle school households still need to activate a Parent Portal account. So once we have our database campaign working and we've got hopefully a lot of information coming back to update our database, then we will be able to really focus on reaching out to the families and households who don't have Parent Portal accounts to with the email addresses that we have so that they will be able to activate Parent Portal accounts. Elementary students, families will be invited to have Parent Portal accounts this spring. And the goal is to work throughout the rest of this year to increase Parent Portal accounts substantially so that when we do go paperless, this is the way that parents and community members are going to be able to receive report cards, paperless, and information messaging that goes back and forth. We do currently use Infinite Campus now for our emergency and weather-related messaging, and something that's really great about Infinite Campus is that we are using the text messaging, so specifically for our Spanish-speaking families. It's been a really effective way of being able to communicate and give them messages. This just shows you all of our schools, and again, as we're trying to integrate the communication and make sure that the communication program is all connected, that we're consistent in the messaging. So going paperless, I've already sort of referred to this, but it is going to be a big initiative, and so core, the success of it is core to communication. So just so that you know, nearly two-thirds of Americans are have smartphones, and they have it as their primary entry to the online world. And this is interesting because in going paperless, a big concern has been how are we going to make sure that we really are reaching all of our families, right? But it's really good to note that low-income households and low levels of education attainment are the most smartphone-dependent in the country. So actually, our families have smartphones, and it is really, really an effective way to send text messages or to send messages. So we are really working hard on this campaign to make sure that our families, all of our families, are really connected. Yeah. Okay, the next part of this presentation is just going to go a little more quickly, but I just sort of gave you an overview of what we've been doing. The next part is going to focus more on social media. I know that's what the board has been wanting to discuss, and Dr. Montesano asked me to put some things together for you. So what's all the buzz about with social media? Well, every single teenager pretty much is tweeting, posting, chatting, posting videos, and Facebook is 1.5 billion monthly users, adds 500,000 users every day. Instagram is the fastest growing social media network favored by our youth. Most youth are not using so much Facebook anymore. Indigo, you probably agree with that, but they use Kick, Snapchat, WhatsApp. But this last thing, I mean, all of the facts are just pointing to the potential use of social media for how to communicate better. But the fact that Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp handle 60 billion messages per day, that's quite a lot. Okay, so this just highlights some of the positive tools for educator benefits and parental benefits. Basically, for educators, it encourages collaboration, definitely has a tech-based idea world that our teachers get excited about, and it encourages professional engagement. For parents, it really connects them in a greater way to their child's education and to teachers and students, and also helps transparency for schools and districts. So, Facebook versus Twitter. I already said that both our district sites are social media ready, specifically with Facebook and Twitter. All I want to say really about this is, you know, it's going to be a decision or some considerations to have which one is used or both. But Facebook is often used for the parent group that we're talking about. It's kind of used widely in that parent group, and it's a really good platform for telling our own stories. Twitter is much more shorter, faster messages, but we have the capability of just putting quick, positive messages out there. So.
I'm pretty sure most of us are familiar with how Twitter works. The local, the news,
yeah,
we know how
yes.
it works. Yeah.
Well, but one thing I do want to say is either or both is going to need a lot of constant attention, vetting of information, and consistent posting. Okay, so this is the last slide, mostly made for you all tonight. Considerations that should be made for if social media is going to be used by Nyack School District. In that little box in there, I researched what Rockland County's districts are doing. Mostly, they're using Facebook and Twitter. There's one Instagram account with Rockland BOCES. Not all districts are using social media officially, but this is what's out there. First and foremost, every single person I spoke to and all the research I did, if there is consideration for our district to enter social media world, the Board of Ed has to develop a very clear policy and set of guidelines for expectancies. And that is just like the critical fundamental piece that would really need to happen first. We would work alongside legal counsel to make sure that we're considering everything needs to be considered. And then number three has more to do with my office. We would have to establish a team to plan and clarify the workflow, process, protocol, who's going to be vetting from each school, how is it going to be approved, how is it going to be submitted, what is social media worthy, and how often will it be expected, et cetera. It's going to be a big undertaking if and when it happens. I did want to just mention that Let's Talk, which I know you're all familiar with, it does allow us the capability to act as a housing for social media and a management for it. And it also will allow us, like it already does, to collect trends and insights and data that could be helpful to us for social media. Thank you for your time. In closing, I just wanted to sort of kind of go back to communication. In the Chinese calligraphy and culture, I often refer to this. In my other life, I used to travel there. But Chinese calligraphy is interesting. There's no symbol for communication. Actually, the symbol is active listening. So communication really is incorporating all these things: to hear, to think, to see, to give our undivided attention, and to feel with our heart in order so that we can really truly communicate effectively. That goes back to our site on communication, to connect, integrate, tell our own story, and engage. And when we're doing that authentically, we really are going to be given unique opportunities to do something with communications that other districts aren't doing, and to really be unique for equity, innovation, and optimism. So that's kind of my presentation. And if anybody has any questions, I'm here. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Any questions for Lisa?
Just a
Trustee Marshall.
Comment. Lisa, that was a great presentation. And while you were doing it, I didn't notice the language part in the top, so I was clicking on it, and it's amazing how far this district has come in terms of the website. I know, you know, for the engineers, the one engineer in the room, I know that we really, you know, we're pushing it to see it come to fruition. It's really savvy, and I think the next big piece is going to be, if the board decides, is that social media piece. I think the one thing I'll be disappointed in is if we got a Facebook page and then people were still using other Facebook pages, that would be a disappointment. But this is great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Yeah. Trustee Bender?
Great stuff. I can't tell you how many times I get a text message from my wife with a picture of what's come on Peach Jar. I got two this week. Is, hey, the middle school is doing Shrek, and there was a baseball clinic that she wanted to sign my son up for. So I would say on average I'm getting 1 to 2 text messages a week with, hey, did you know that this is coming? And it's all from Peach. Not I get the email, yeah, but she wants to remind me of it. So
your wife is one of those unique clicks.
Yeah. So, and I am as well when some, you know, when I see something. So the website, Peach Jar, it was a great presentation, and it's great work, really.
Just kind of, Lisa, amazing. Oh my gosh, the presentation looks beautiful. Everything looks great. I just can't believe how many things you've actually done. I mean,
it's astounding sometimes.
It is.
But it's been a team effort.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's so much. It was interesting that you had what's up in there. I had never heard of this, but this was something from my retreat in Jamaica. Apparently, globally, WhatsApp is an app that I guess people use consistently to communicate, especially if you're, I know I feel so behind the times,
that's awesome.
But especially when people are in different countries and, you know, you don't want to use your Verizon, right? So, I mean, it's just ridiculously impressive. I can't believe we're doing this whole paperless move. That's huge.
I love it.
And I did have a question. I don't even have, so the Infinite Campus, that is an app, isn't it, that I didn't even
download? Infinite Campus is our student data management system, and so Parent Portal is through Infinite Campus. So Parent Portal is an account with Infinite Campus that allows parents to log on, see your students' grades, attendance, behavior. There's all kinds of things, and currently the middle school and high school have abilities to have Parent Portal accounts. Elementary, at the elementary level, we have not opened that up yet, but there are plans to do that. And it needs to be coordinated along with all of this effort to make sure we have our database set and to poise us to be able to be paperless.
And I used Parent Portal. Isn't there a way? I feel like the kids will have it on their phone, and I didn't put it on my phone yet. Right?
So one quick anecdotal story.
Yeah.
So I saw my son's phone on the table, and his thing popped up. Nicholas has got an update on this. Nicholas has got a... And his grades are popping up on his phone. So I'm like, oh, how did you get that? And there is an app called Campus Portal.
That's what I have.
And
not
Victoria
done
hit him across the head and like, I can't believe you showed her that.
Which
is really cool. So the senior...
Well, it's interesting.
But it is fantastic. And I actually did download it. And so long as you've got the account, you've got access to everything you would on Campus Portal. But what's beautiful is you do get the messages coming back at you about their grades instantly as soon as they're posted.
Uh-oh.
Pops up on my phone. And I want to
Well, that's an interesting thing.
It's wonderful. And the only comment, the only criticism I have is, how did they know it and I not know it? So I guess in terms of communication, just something that gets that out there about some of these cool tools we have. And
maybe a peach jar flyer.
I'm developing quick tips for parents about all of the different software with the websites. We just haven't been quite ready to do that. I wanted everything to be coordinated and successful. I don't want people to be able to go and then have it. So we've had some quirks we've had to work out. Mm-hmm. So we're just getting ready, and that'll be coordinated with the paperless initiative. And speaking about the app for Parent Portal, I have heard that students do have that access, and maybe Indigo can talk, it might be a good segue into the class ranking conversation, but I do know, I have heard teachers and students tell me that students become a little obsessed with checking their grades constantly. So I guess that can be a little bit of a double-edged sword, but it is important information for parents to be able to have access to.
Yeah, no, thank you, it's amazing.
Sorry, Michael Malk.
thanks for a great presentation. What's our next step as a board? What are we doing? What's next?
My suggestion, specifically to the social media piece, the next logical step, which is a non-committal piece for the board, is for us to begin to develop a policy proposal. Because I think that will engage the board with regard to a number of things the board is going to have to contemplate. As an example, a two-way communication vehicle of some form really has to be carefully monitored. You have FERPA concerns you have to be mindful of. A lot of things could unintentionally engage the board in positions where we don't want to be. So I think that really will also coincide with Ralph helping us develop whatever that policy may look like. Then presenting as a simple introduction to a policy for social media to the board, and I think that should lead the discussion to the board. I think it'll help us all kind of get more involved in the topic, mm-hmm. and so we can see it for what it is in terms of the, you know, the various benefits that Lisa has spoken about. It'll give us a chance also to speak. I know actually the BOCES PR person is very adept in all this stuff. You know, it's another great resource. I know he's helped several districts, including South Orangetown. We can speak to Nanuet about their experiences, South Orangetown, and you know, other districts that are engaging in this. But in my mind, I think the policy development would be a good place to begin, and I think that will kind of get you guys to kind of, all of us to kind of focus on what issues and what are the do's, what are the don'ts, how will this look, and then finally the board will have a decision to make in terms of employing it.
All right. Thank you. Lisa, one of the things that I really like, I mean, this was spectacular, and especially the framework within which you've developed this. It's not just communication, get information out. It's all about, you know, the mission. We've got a plan. We've got a focus. It's tremendous, and it's a roadmap, so we know where we're going, we know what we want to achieve, so it's not just put something in for the heck of doing it, right? Mm-hmm. It's got to fit in within the plan and the mission and the overall focus, so thank you so much. We appreciate that this is a lot of hard work, so mm-hmm. Thank you for doing this, and we'll support you with, you know, however we progress. So.
Thank you. I really did mean it's been a privilege. I'm very excited about the things that we're doing, yeah. So thank you for the opportunity.
So this communication to us, can we put it up on the website for communication to everybody else, do you think? Because it's a good plan. I think this is a great deck to show the community
sure.
we've got things.
Sure,
going,
we can
right?
put it under community, under the initiative showcase.
Or yeah, I think so. And then put it in Peach Jar to say we've put it up there, right? No, I think
honestly,
it's
you will be seeing the quick tips through Peach Jar.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Dr. Montesano.
Yes, the next item for workshop is really the one we had put off at the last meeting because of time, ironically enough, and weather, was to just really turn it back to the board with regard to the topic of class rank. At this point, I think the board has been furnished with, you know, as much information as we have to offer you with regard to student responses and you know that Indigo is able to collect. You heard from the committee, or at least the chairs of the committee, in terms of looking at the various options you have, if you will. I don't know if everybody had a chance to see the comments that were sent to you by a member of the committee, a parent member of the committee today, with regard to some of her insights. Hopefully everybody, I think it was Trustee Marshall had mentioned about Dave Johnson's experiences at North Rockland. So I share with the board, I think sometime today I sent mm-hmm. out an email yeah, with sure. regard to his observations mm-hmm. Over at North Rockland that actually eliminated class ranking. So. You know, through my eyes, I would just simply turn it over to the board. You know, I think, you know, my final comment to the board is simply this. I think through this experience, I think the one thing that we, you know, my takeaway is that while any change in class ranking, whether it's, you know, deciles, whether it's elimination, may have some benefits, although, you know, keep in mind, as you know, you've heard some students reply that the ranking system actually acts as a motivator for certain students. the undercurrent of the issue, which in somewhat is tied perhaps to the weighting of courses, is much of that stress that is that exists in the life of a high school student, taking a tremendous amount of rigorous courses is really the necessity to get to a college. If they're interested in a competitive college, they're going to have some evidence of taking rigorous, challenging courses, which is really the impetus of the stress that is connected to what occurs. So I don't think it's a panacea to to eliminate ranking or to change ranking per se, although it will have some perhaps some benefits. Finally, the high school last night, PTA, had a program, our first program for parents on anxiety and so forth and stress, and we had two parents. One thing I'd mentioned to Nicole, and I think in speaking with Lisa, our website will have the capability of video, is recognizing it's very difficult, particularly high school parents. Kids are coming home late from practice. If you got younger kids, you have to, you got to be getting them dinner and trying to get to a 7 o'clock meeting. You're stressed, so maybe videotaping these kinds of things, mm-hmm. and starting to disseminate information about these topics through resources that may either be YouTube-ish interviews, whether they're just simply resources, and not simply to anticipate we're going to get cohorts of parents coming out to our school for these kinds of program nights. So I'll stop there and turn it over to you folks, and see if you're able to get to some form of closure with regard to this idea about wanting to see a change or no change or etc.
Thoughts? Michael Mark, is that a? I would like to
speak.
No,
I'm just sort of scrolling through the presentation, of the students' results, and just like the committee, they're mixed. There certainly seems to be a lot of conversation about moving away from specific class rankings, and I sort of fall on the fence either side. I mean, if it's more useful to have not have the class rankings, it's fine with me.
Trustee Moschina.
So this, I feel like this is one of those topics where I feel like I've had a lot of good conversations with a lot of fellow board members about this, and you can almost go back and forth, have one conversation, right? Talk to Michael and, that's a great point. It's a great point on one side of it. So it's a great conversation to have, which is wonderful. I sent around an article today. I probably should have sent it around a little earlier, so I don't even know if anybody had a chance to read it. So I thought maybe I would just read a little bit out of this particular article. This was in Education Week. It was by a gentleman named Thomas Guskey, who apparently writes a lot on education. So this was sort of, some of his information on it. And he talked about, a question in education about whether the purpose of teaching is selecting talent or developing talent. And he said that if it's about developing talent, that was sort of the direction he was going with this article. I'll just read a couple little paragraphs that he put in here. He said, determining class rank does not help students achieve more or reach higher levels of proficiency. With the possible exception of the top-ranked student, class rank also does nothing to enhance students' sense of self-worth, their confidence as learners, or their motivation for learning. On the contrary, evidence indicates ranking students may diminish student motivation. If we say our purpose is to develop talent, then computing class rank is counter to that purpose. Selective colleges and universities have a vested interest in high schools rank ordering their graduates. Ranking helps admission officers at these institutions discriminate amongst the applicants so they can more easily choose the few they will admit. It's a little very much on one side, obviously. There was one part I think I didn't pull out. He had some statistics in there.
So what's this guy's qualifications?
He is a professor of educational psychology in the College of Education at the University of Kentucky, a graduate of the University of Chicago, a doctorate of research and development for Chicago Public Schools. and was the first director for the Center for the Improvement of Teaching and Learning as Natural Research Center. There's a little bit more about him that I could read. So I don't know. It was one side of it, obviously. I just thought there were some interesting pieces in talking about developing talents in students and kind of leaning towards the side of feeling as if that it was sort of more a little bit about having students choose their classes, that maybe the ranking led to more picking your classes sometimes about the points added versus as much really picking what you felt the most comfortable with and were the most passionate about. So I guess, I kind of keep leaning towards the discussion of moving away from the traditional class ranking, listening a little bit to maybe what Indigo was talking about in terms of a focus on maybe looking at the decile system kind of listening to the feedback that I feel like I was getting as a parent and a community member from maybe the majority of the students that I felt like I talked to. I know we've got a survey here, which kind of has some mixed results in it. But, for me, just kind of listening to my fellow board members, having discussions, doing some reading, listening to students, I lean towards looking at moving away from our traditional ranking system as we have it now and looking at maybe towards a decile system, as we talked about a little bit at the previous meeting.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
I guess if we're summarizing positions, when I approached this, trying to get information on this issue, I wanted to know what the community thought, and I basically didn't hear anything. We had it on the agenda, and nobody from the community came to the board meeting to express any opinions. I mean, that, to me, when there's something the community is really concerned about, like the breathalyzer, we get lots of people coming to the meetings, and lots of opinions are out there. So I took it to mean the community hadn't really been focusing on this as a paramount issue to them. The next step was we wanted to know what the students thought, and when we got the committee came to really largely no conclusion, one way or the other, based on the information that they had. Then we asked for the students' input, and it sort of came to an almost even split. But the resonating theme seemed to be, let's talk about the anxiety factor, let's support our students, and make sure that there's some program to address those issues. I also heard and read some things on my own that some of this competition that these students feel comes from the kids themselves, not even necessarily some kind of external constraint of getting into the school. I had a parent telling me that the kids were posting things like driver's ed scores and stuff, because it's just this competition through the vehicles and the avenues the kids had. Now, we heard tonight about instant grades, and the kids are looking at instant grades. So I'm not convinced that us overhauling our whole system and saying, okay, we're going to now go to this new ranking, is as important as dealing with teaching kids. You need to be well-rounded individuals. You need to take things that you're passionate about, because it doesn't matter. If you're passionate about something, you'll get where you want to go, regardless of whether it's an Ivy League school or not, because it may not be best for you there. You've got to follow your passions. Teaching kids, competition is good, but accept everybody, And get away from the rubrics of saying you've got to have this percentage associated with this person or not. I also think it's really critical for our school to showcase the benefits of being a NIAC student. I mean, I deliberately put my kids in this district because of the opportunities of things they have to participate in that are not just purely academic, the arts and some of the other programs like Dimensions and things like that. So my inkling is just leave it the way it is for the moment until we get some kind of compelling information that something needs to change through either the communities coming to us and saying it needs to be changed, we get more concerted feedback from the students that they're really struggling with this, or if some of our efforts that we have to dealing with these anxiety issues are showing to the board that there's a bigger problem than is existing right now.
Okay, thanks, Lynn. James, do you have a view? Trustee Marshall?
Well, a couple things. Just starting with the student response. The sampling of students, what was like 115?
It was about 15, a little over 15, almost 16% of the students.
Okay, so that's a small sample. And even with that small sample, it was split. So, and we had, not to make this horrible analogy, we had a split decision today on an education secretary. It was, you know, changed by one vote. I think that sample, you know, speaks to, you know, there is this other half that's looking at something and another half that, you know, wants to maybe do it alone. You know, a 16% of students surveyed. I wonder how that would change if you surveyed, you know, 50% or 80%, how that would change. So that's one. Number two, I just wanted to, because I think it bears being spoken to in a podcast. I was very intrigued by what Principal Johnson's experience was, because it wasn't mm-hmm. anecdotal. It was almost empirical, because he was the principal at North Rockland. And these were his observations from traditional class ranking system to the decile ranking system. Students began to choose classes based on interests, not the effect a class would have on the GPA. It was a very balanced response, though. Pressure to be listed in the top 10 was decreased. North Rockland still announced the number 1 and 2 ranked students. Point 3, students were still able to figure out their class rank based upon GPA. And I don't know, I think, Karen, you just pointed out, now that your children and our children have access to the app, they're all posting, you know, 98s, you know, whatever. At least they can figure out their GPA, but you don't necessarily have, you know, this obsession with competition posting driver ed scores. Change to the deciles had no effect on the college application/acceptance process. And lastly, instead of recognizing the top 20 students, North Rockland changed to the top 5%, allowing more students to be recognized. So I wanted just to put that out there for those who may be listening, and just for the fact that I think it bears being, you know, out there in a public setting. And the one thing that I'm sort of adverse to, and that is when you, I mean, I'm trying to figure out, where did this arise from, the idea that we need to even look at this? Did it come from our student body? Did it come from us? Where did it arise from?
I think it came from me talking to a bunch of kids who had just graduated.
A trustee on the board. That's how this arose, this whole discussion.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the origin. So, and then we have all this discussion around it. The one thing I'm somewhat adverse to, and that is this, and you did say, Dr. Montesano, there's no panacea, and there really isn't. But the one way to test something is to do it, and you can always pull it back. There's nothing saying that you could put this out there and pull it back, because you're not seeing any results. You're not seeing any decrease in anxiety. You're not seeing any decrease in competition. You simply pull it back. So that's my comment. That's it.
If you think about pulling it back, you have to decide how long you're going to give it a chance.
Give it a chance, yeah. How are you going to put the experiment out there?
Right.
Yeah.
Trustee Bender, any thoughts?
I think Trustee Irvin summed up my feelings on the matter pretty concisely. I just don't see a compelling need, given the lack of interest at meetings and the split decision on the small sample. I don't know. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I just can't see a need at this point in time.
Okay. Indigo, can I ask you a question? The survey, how did you put the survey out there and ask students to respond to that? How was that socialized?
So basically all of the social studies teachers were given a link in which they put on, I believe it was on their Google Classroom, which all the teachers have, or maybe it was on the school website, I can't remember which one. And then in class, we were asked to complete it. So essentially, we should have had a much larger sample size if everyone had completed it. Not everyone takes social studies classes, so that could have added in, but I think a lot of kids just probably didn't want to do it.
Really?
Okay. Hmm. So, all right. So, I tend to err on the side of, look, there's so much that we've got on the plate going on with the administration right now. This is one of those things that I, like Trustee Irvin, Trustee Leonard, don't see a compelling need right now. James, I thank you for reading that for the podcast. I think that's important. But as I read it also today, when it says students began to choose classes based on interests and not the effects of that it would have on the GPA, how do we know how our students select their classes? Do we actually know that it's because they want to boost their GPA? Do we have any evidence that says it's not because they're choosing their classes based on interest?
In our case, we're looking now because that was a thing I was going to bring up too, because now we have to look at our weighting system because some of that is factored in kids' choices.
Think so. We don't know.
We
don't have the evidence that says the majority of kids are doing this. So
do we have that evidence?
We do have that evidence.
Well, look, the best data to look at with regard to the statement David's making about kids shifting. First of all, I'd be curious even how they made that determination. However, the issue I think in front of the board is if we are having students simply taking advanced placement type courses to gain some advantage on their ranking, then it would stand to reason if ranking was eliminated, you would see less students taking multiple AP courses. And I'm not suggesting that's necessarily a good thing, because some kids, you don't want to disincentivize, challenging kids. Mm-hmm. But that's the only way I can think of how you can get some metric to make it, if we agree or if the assumption is that the stress induced that, you're trying to eliminate is caused by an overload of AP type courses, which means more homework, more rigor, and it's beyond, not the capacity of kids, but it causes kids to stay up late, it causes kids undue stress, it causes them to stress over, did I get a good enough grade on a test, am I going to lose some points? Then it would stand to reason that if that is the motivating factor, not to impress colleges, because if you eliminate rank and the kids are taking those courses because they think Duke University wants them to take a lot of AP courses, then we're not going to see a decline.
Right.
Totally agree. But to Indigo's point, once the kids get into college, they're like, I don't need to take this anymore. So it's clear that from that little evidence, a lot of these seniors are driving the AP courses to get into college. Right?
The load up is in the junior year. Right. Yeah, many kids, maybe the first semester, yes. Most of your kids, by the way, kids at really highly competitive, they're pretty much beyond credits by the time they get to the senior year.
Absolutely.
What you do see is the senioritis in terms of lightening up their schedule. They may be taking an AP course or two, but the hard work, the arduous work, has been done in the previous
junior,
years.
And to your point, how are you going to know? How are you going to know if removing these, or changing the ranking of your APs is going to have that stress reduce effect until you do it? And then will you in turn then look at, okay, now we can look at something in terms of decile. And the only other thing I wanted to ask about your survey was the demographic aspect of it. That's not even quantified. In terms of demographics, how many Hispanics, how many African-American, how many, English language learners, how would that be impacted, or was it all taken by, those who, that piece is missing.
I mean, I'd be more than happy to re-implement the survey with...
I was just curious, it's a question.
But if we were able to get a larger sample,
and
I'd definitely talk with Ms. Aiva and others in finding out how we can kind of make sure that more students are taking it. That'd be interesting. I also want to say...
Let me let you finish. Go ahead. Sorry, to go.
If the goal is to, decrease stress and such, and you mentioned, how is for instance, like how is the interest level really determined? And ultimately, that would be done during, with the guidance counselors. You know, I mean, I'm assuming that they're the ones that are assigning the classes. They're talking with students. Hopefully, they're kind of getting an understanding of how, you know, their mental process. And if we're already implementing some sort of social emotional programming with Miss Longing, which is supposed to be addressing that, you know, it seems like we should see how that works out in terms of the student's interest level and seeing their stress reduction primarily, and then seeing how, you know, if, you know, changing the ranking system is needed afterwards. To me, that just seems logical if that's the point of getting rid of rank.
And I think that's a conclusion I'd like to come to, because I was more concerned with what I heard coming around this, around the social and emotional stress, right, of just getting through high school and prepping for college. So I think as a first step, and we spoke about this the last time, we definitely want to put that in place. Around the surveys, to me, if you have to force people to take surveys, that's not the point of the survey, right? And if the interest coming back is 110 out of X, That in and of itself sends a message, right? So that's how I would see. James, the point about put it in and try it, I think, listen, that's great, but I don't know what sort of resourcing you need to do that, change the systems, get it to work in decile, then go back. That just might not be a small exercise to do. And I'm not sure the point that we want to prove. I'm not sure.
Well, it's showing, it's going to answer your question. Does this actually reduce stress, or does this actually... And I don't think stress was the only factor.
It's not going to reduce stress. It's not going to measure stress.
No, I don't think stress is the only factor that was looked at by the committee in terms of decile. Right. So, again, it's very similar to all the other weighty things that the board looks at. How do you know something unless you've actually done it? And what is the downside? That's why I keep going back to your point. There is no panacea. What is the downside? You've taken away rank, and so now people, you know, they can still figure out their GPA. It's not like they can't figure it out. Right. So what is the downside? And, you know, perhaps none, unless a student say, oh, gosh, now I'm not going to be so stressed out. It's kind of like I'm trying to figure out what the downside is. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
But before we get to the downside of doing it, what's the problem we're trying to solve, right? We could do things and consider downside, upside to get many pieces of information, but I think we should focus on what's the problem we're trying to solve, right?
Well, one of the problems that was brought forth by the students was students picking classes very much based on ranking. And
but I think...
Hold on, let her finish. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, that was one piece of it. They were saying... So these are the very specific things.
Could you give us specifics? Like, when you say they, how many, what level? Because that's not what came back from the survey. So when you say from students, how many are we talking about? Who, what levels?
I mean, this particular group was 10 girls who had just graduated college and had all gotten into very good colleges. This was this sample group. They were girls going to Cornell, GW, Emory, and Cornell. They said, you know what, this whole class ranking thing did not help us get into colleges. We studied really hard. We did really well in school, and we were ranked 13, 14, 21, even though our GPA was great. So when it came time to getting into colleges, they said, we just felt like the ranking didn't help us. We almost felt like it hurt us by having a ranking that wasn't in the top 10, even though we all did great and got into their colleges, so it obviously didn't hurt them too much. They said their experience at their schools was that the other students predominantly, they felt like in their schools, were coming from high schools that weren't ranking as we were in this northeastern area, that this was just not the norm, especially at a lot of the very good, the private schools, the independent liberal schools, this isn't what you typically see. You know, they also felt like there were times that the kids were doing better because they were almost picking easier classes. You know, they were getting an A in a Regents class versus an 80 in an AP class, even though you got the 6 or 7 points, they felt like it was easier to get a higher GPA in a Regents course. You know, anecdotally, additionally, you know, listen, I've got 2 high school kids. I drive kids around. I talk to them all the time. They told me stories about the kid who's every day checking her grade because she wants to be number one in her class. Now, I thought about this because Michael and I talked a little bit about, is this like a sport, right? So you play a sport, and you play. Do you play it to win, right? You play baseball, you play basketball. However, as a parent, or probably a good coach, you really want your kid playing that sport for them to do the best for themselves, regardless of winning or losing. It's not about winning or losing. It's about you doing the best that you can for you. So for me, in the context of ranking, it means that when you've got that rank, sometimes it's more about the winning, the where you're at, the place that you're at, versus about just doing the best for you, because this is what's right for you. Again, I kind of see it in my, you know, I've got different kids, we've got four kids, everyone's really different. I see it in my daughter. I see her working her butt off. She's not, I don't know if she's worried about ranking. I don't ask her. I'm not sure. I just see her grades are great, and she is not in the top 10%. You know, she's taking AP classes, honors classes. She's doing homework 2-3 hours a night. I don't know. You know, it's where she's at, but I see it not helping a student like her. You know, you don't want to do things for your own kids, of course. But I don't know. These are all the different – there were so many different pieces that played into my mind when I thought about this. So it just seems so logical to me when it came from it. I hear what everyone else is saying. I do. But sometimes being right in it as a parent with a senior and a sophomore and around these kids are all very different. To me, you know, kind of like James was saying, I don't know if this ranking is adding anything to our kids' experience. I don't know, and I don't think it's so difficult to get rid of it. All it is you get rid of it. You know, it's not like a lot of work.
That was my question.
Yeah.
It's not taking a lot of resources to get rid of it.
But you've got to change the whole system and how the system generates.
Logistically,
you're
having
to deal
with it.
The one point, too, I want to make clear, because it was reported by your committee as well, and you're talking to our counselors, and I will validate this statement. Your ranking is no assurance. You know, you could be fifth in your class, and you'll get denied by Cornell. Right. You could be 38th in your class, and you'll get accepted.
Exactly.
That is not the only variable that, you know, so the idea that, you know, by getting myself in the top 10 or top 5 doesn't really guarantee me. They really want a well-rounded student.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But from a high school's perspective, in terms of logistically, you know, we will generate GPAs. You know, there's really no change systematically for the district.
Right.
It really is about what will be disseminated to the students.
Mm-hmm.
As
so it's not that big a deal
to just get rid of.
You know, if, as we said to the board, that if the board decided to eliminate ranking altogether, we would still be able to generate that information for if a student needed it for scholarship purposes, a college requested it or something of that form. But there is really no additional work or less work for the district itself. It's just a matter of philosophically of what you want to change. I think the one thing that I think Nicole and Lorraine emphasized is that any change, they were suggesting, I think they went back then, it was like second grade or something, that they wanted to start it. You know, they wanted time for the change for the kids to get acclimated to it. So you're not, there may be students that are juniors where, you know, they know their ranking, or sophomores
right.
know their ranking, mm-hmm. will feel like you pulled out the rug from under
right.
them
right.
At that point. So that's probably the only consideration. But from, you know, from the vantage point of the district, really zero changes for us in terms of, you know, operationally.
Okay, so.
Good question, Michael.
Okay, so. Let's go around. The position I'd like, I like what Indigo put on the board, which is where I was going to get to, which is there's a fundamental, the bigger issue, I think, that was brought up, which is the social emotional concerns. Absolutely, we've got to address that. I think that's mm-hmm. pressing. I think to your point earlier, Damon, that depending on what comes back on the weightings, we might have a different view on what we do with rankings, one way or the other. So I'd really love to wait to see. I think the weightings is the one that really needs to get addressed. See how that comes through.
We're going to wait for the weightings.
We await your weighting discussion. That's what I would like to propose. But I think we need to. I think the decision now is: do we change a ranking system? So let's have a vote on that, right? To determine, because if that's what we're going to do, then it's a holistic bunch of things they need to do.
Well, do we do that in workshop, or do we? I guess.
No, I'm getting. We're trying to give them instructions
okay.
as to what to do. So I want to go around now, as in, is there a feel for what we do? Change ranking. Michael?
At this point
in time. We can bring this up again. We can get the weightings and come back to it.
Right.
I'm not saying no. Just what do we instruct them to do? Don't change the ranking.
I just got confused. Because you're saying, are we... If we're going to wait for something about the weighted grades, then I would say don't change anything.
That's exactly the question.
Right.
I would go for change the rankings, but I'm okay with leaving too.
I would change the rankings.
Yeah.
James?
I'm fine either way. I'm fine if you decide to get rid of it now and decide if you have to wait.
It's not me. It's us as a board. Well, giving instruction to Dr. Montesano.
Either way.
No, you're telling him to do something. You can't tell him either way. You're either saying change your ranking now or wait, or don't change.
He's saying let Jim decide, I think, aren't you?
I'm saying let Jim decide.
Leanne?
I say don't change it.
Okay, I say don't change it. And Mr. Rock asked me to vote for him, so he says don't change it.
You can't vote by proxy. Oh, I thought you were serious. The other thing is, too, is that... You're saying I vote not to change it until we get the rankings, just for purpose of a complete book.
At this point in time, we're saying don't change the ranking. That's the decision. What we are saying to them is, please take a look at the weighting. Right?
Yeah.
We're not saying we're going to change it or not pending that. We're saying right now...
Mm-hmm.
The decision, the majority of the decision is don't change the weighting, right? We're asking you to
don't change the ranking.
Ranking, yeah.
Go away and look at the weighting. When you bring that back, we'll determine if we want to bring up the ranking.
Okay, I just wanted a complete thought.
Yeah.
Deliberative
okay.
body.
Good?
Good.
Good. We're still not at the adjournment.
Any citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns on the action items?
No. We hadn't started action. That was still working.
So we have on here two resolutions. We should probably read through those. Good night, Mr. and Mrs. Sarchi. Thank you for coming by.
Thank you.
Does anybody have the resolution?
I do.
You want me to read it? Ken?
Sure. Yeah, please. So we have, first of all, Dr. Monsano, any comments you want to make on any of the other items?
No.
Okay, great. Leanne, if you could take the U.S. Secretary of Education resolution.
Okay, yeah, that's it. The resolution reads, recommended action, whereas the Board of Education of the Nyack Union Free School District is a 7-member board elected by the voters of the school district and created under the education law of New York State within the limitations of federal and state laws and regulations of the Commissioner of Education. And whereas the Board of Education recognizes their responsibility to help meet the physical, intellectual, and emotional needs of our children, particularly the needs to inquire, learn, think, and create, to establish aesthetic, moral, and ethical values. And whereas the Board of Education demands that all of our students receive this education regardless of socioeconomic status, ability, background, race, or gender, creating the confidence to go forth and serve their community and country at large. And whereas the Board of Education believes that traditional public education has been the hallmark of success for our students locally and nationally, contributing to many of the successes of our country. And whereas the Board of Education is further committed to the success of all students, including those of our students with physical and mental disabilities, and the promise of all students to provide an adequate, equitable, sustainable, and positive learning environment. And whereas the Board of Education is deeply concerned about endorsement by any state or federal government of school voucher programs, school choice programs, or charter schools which threaten the provision of free and appropriate public education for all students through a traditional public school system. And whereas the Board of Education equally believes that any school system that receives any state or federal funding or incentives must abide by the same federal and state statutes governing traditional public schools already established or to be established so as to ensure public faith in their operation and existence. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Nyack Board of Education hereby demands that any nominee for the position of United States Secretary of Education support the above principles in theory and practice and calls upon the United States Senate to stand firm in opposing any nominee that does not.
Thank you very much. Okay. Jen, if you could read the foundation info.
Okay, action. Whereas the NIAC Board of Education, as a legally constituted body of elected representatives responsible for determining policy and programming for the students of the district within the confines of both federal and state governing education, and whereas the Board of Education is committed to the provision of quality education focused on cognitive, social, emotional, and physical growth for every student, and whereas the Board of Education demands that all of our students receive this education regardless of socioeconomic status, ability, background, race, or gender, creating the confidence to go forth and serve the community and country at large. And whereas the Board of Education has been challenged to meet its educational responsibilities for the children of the community as a result of unfunded state mandates, the state tax cap law, limiting its control of the revenue portion of the budget, the former state-imposed gap elimination adjustment, and state failure to fully fund the foundation aid formula defined by the state. And whereas Governor Cuomo has proposed the repeal of the 2007 foundation aid formula, and if so enacted, would eliminate the formula based on an estimate of per pupil cost of a sound basic education adjusted for regional cost differences, pupil needs, and local ability to pay. And instead, districts would receive what they received the prior year, plus an increase to be determined through new formulas constructed each year. And whereas the governor's proposal to repeal the 2007 foundation aid formula would eliminate the $4.3 billion of withheld funds by failing to implement the foundation aid formula defined by the state since 2008-2009, and now, therefore, be it resolved that we call upon the New York State Senate and Assembly to oppose the governor's proposal to eliminate the foundation aid formula and to support the Board of Regents' recommendation to adopt a $2.1 billion state aid proposal, which includes a $1.47 billion foundation aid increase for 2017-18 as part of a three-year plan to pay down the $4.3 billion owed in foundation aid, and be it therefore further resolved that we call upon Governor Cuomo and the New York State legislators to support future funding that provides adequacy, equity, flexibility, predictability, and clarity in funding for New York public schools.
Great. Thank you very much, Jen. All right. So do we have a motion to accept action items 4.2 to 4.5?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion?
Can we just call out 4.4 separate?
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept action items 4.2, 4.3, and 4.5?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Do we have a motion to accept action item 4.4?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained?
Abstain.
Motion carries. For the record, please note that action item 4.4, resolution for U.S. Secretary of Education, has been abstained by Trustee Bender and in favor other members of the board present this evening.
Enjoy.
Thank you. Okay. Dr. Montano, anything on business to point out?
Nope.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept business action items 5.1 and 5.2?
Motion.
Second.
Thank you. Discussion?
I have a question.
Yes?
What was the legislative funding from Zabrowski?
That was the $20,000 for the SOAR program.
The SOAR program.
Ah. Thank you to Ken Zabrowski for assisting us with that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Dr. Montesano, personnel? Do we have a motion to accept personnel action item 6.1 to 6.4?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
We are adjourned.